Chapter 24. Lily. There's a pounding in my head. And outside my head. I lift my face off my pillow and feel drool on my chin. I wipe it away with the corner of my pillowcase. I sit up and see that Atlas left a note beside me. I grab for it, but then hear the knock again, so I tuck the note under my pillow for later and force myself to clear space in my foggy brain to make room for what's happening in this moment. Emmy is at my mother's. I just had the best night of sleep I've had in 2 years. Someone is at my door. I reach for my phone on my nightstand and try to focus on the screen. I have several missed calls from Ryle, which makes me concerned something is wrong. But the only thing I have from my mother is a picture of Emmy eating breakfast from half an hour ago. Phew, Emmy is okay. I immediately relax, but knowing Ryle is probably the one knocking on my door doesn't allow for much relaxation. Hold on, I yell. I throw on something quick, a t-shirt and jeans, and then I open the door to let him in. He moves past me into the apartment without being invited in.
Is everything okay?
He looks panicked, but also relieved to see that I'm alive. I was asleep. Everything is fine. He can tell I'm annoyed. He glances around the room for Emmy. She spent the night at my mother's.
Oh.
He's disappointed.
I tried calling because I wanted to pick her up for a few hours. You weren't answering your phone, and you're always awake by now.
Ryle's voice trails off when he sees the couch. I don't have to look at the couch to know what he's staring at. My t-shirt and panties are still tossed haphazardly over the back of it, I'm sure. Let me call my mother and let her know you're coming. I go get my phone from my room, hoping Ryle isn't about to question me. He's ruining the good mood Atlas left me in last night. When I walk back into the living room, I pause while searching for my mother's contact on my phone. Ryle is holding a wine glass in his hand, inspecting it. It's the one Atlas drank from. Mine is on the counter next to it, a clear indication that someone was here with me drinking wine last night, before my underwear got removed and left on the couch. I can see Ryle's jealousy bubbling over when he sets down the wine glass and looks straight at me.
Did someone stay the night?
I don't bother denying it. I'm an adult. A single adult. Well, possibly not single anymore, but that's another matter. We're divorced, Ryle. You can't ask me questions like that. Maybe that was the wrong thing to say, because Ryle immediately responds by taking two quick steps toward me.
I can't ask you if someone spent the night in the home my daughter lives in?
I take a step back. That's not what I meant. And I wouldn't bring anyone around her without your approval. That's why she's at my mother's. Ryle's eyes are narrowed, accusing. He looks disgusted by me.
You won't leave her with me overnight, but you'll drop her off somewhere else when you want to get fucked?
He laughs.
Great parenting, Lily.
Now I'm getting angry. This is only the second time I've ever left her overnight since she was born almost a year ago. Don't shame me for taking a night for myself. And when I do take a night for myself, what I do during that time is not your business. Ryle has that look in his eye, the distant void that always took over right before he'd go too far. My anger instantly turns to fear, and when Ryle can see that I'm backing away from him, he releases this sound of rage, a guttural, angry noise of frustration that reverberates in the room. He leaves my apartment, slamming the front door shut behind him. I hear him yell the word fuck in the hallway. I'm not sure which angle his rage is coming at me from. Is he mad I'm moving on? Is he mad my mother has Emmy? Or is it that I allow my mother overnights with her, but I'm still not comfortable with Ryle having overnights? Maybe he's angry about all three things presenting at once. I blow out a calming breath, relieved he's gone. But before I can think about what to do next, Ryle is opening my door again.
He's looking at me from the hallway with a very flat affect when he says, "Is it him?" I can feel my heart catch in my throat when he asks that. He doesn't say Atlas's name, but who else could he be referring to? I don't immediately deny it, which is enough of a confirmation for him. Ryle looks up at the ceiling briefly and then shakes his head.
So I had a right to be concerned about him the whole time.
The entire past few minutes have been a roller coaster of emotions, but nothing has been as tumultuous as the question that just left his mouth. I take a few steps until I'm standing in my doorway, prepared to close the door on him as soon as I say my piece. If you truly believe that I would have been unfaithful to you, then go ahead and believe that. I don't have the energy to keep convincing you otherwise. I've explained this to you before, so I'm not saying it again. I never would have left you for Atlas. I didn't leave you for Atlas. I left you because I deserved to be treated better than the way I was treated by you. I go to close the door, but before I can take a step back, Ryle moves forward and pushes me until my back is flat against the open living room door. His eyes are filled with fury when he slides his left hand to the base of my throat, applying pressure as if he wants to hold me in place. He slaps his right palm flat against the door by my head, and it scares me so much I immediately squeeze my eyes shut, not wanting to see what's about to come next. A huge wave of anxiety and fear rolls over me so intensely I'm scared I might pass out. I can feel Ryle's breath crashing against my cheek as it moves through his clenched teeth because his face is so close to mine. My heart is pounding so hard, there's no way he can't feel that fear beating against his palm with the way his hand is pressed against me. I want to scream, but I'm terrified if I make a noise, it'll make him even angrier. Several seconds pass between the moment Ryle pins me against the door and the moment he starts to realize what he's done. What more he was likely about to do. My eyes are still shut, but I can feel the remorse in the way he leans forward and presses his forehead against the door right next to my head. He still has me caged in, but he's released the pressure in the hand that was gripping my neck, and there is a struggling sound coming from him, as if he's trying not to cry. It takes me back to the last night he hurt me. The apologies he was whispering as I drifted in and out of consciousness. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. My heart is shattered because Ryle hasn't changed at all. As much as I hoped he had, and as much as I know he wanted to, he's still the same man he's always been. I somehow held on to a sliver of hope that he had become stronger for Emmy. But this is absolute confirmation that I'm making the right choices for her. Ryle is clinging to me like I can make this better, and at one point in time, I thought I could. He's a broken man, but he isn't broken because of me. He was broken before he met me. Sometimes people think if they love a broken person enough, they can be what finally repairs them. But the problem with that is the other person just ends up broken, too. I can't afford to allow anyone to break me anymore. I have a daughter I need to be whole for. I gently press my hands against his chest and urge him back into the hallway. When I'm finally in a position where there's enough space between us to shut the door, I close it and lock it. And then I immediately call my mother and tell her to put Emmy in the car and meet me at the park. I don't want them to be at her house if Ryle still plans on showing up there. After I end the call, I move with purpose through my apartment. If I stop and allow myself to get lost in what just happened, I might cry. I don't have time to cry right now. I get dressed to go to the park because I need to be present for my daughter in every way that I can be. Before I walk out the door, I grab the note Atlas wrote me and tuck it into my purse. I have a feeling his words are going to be the only bright spot to this day.
My premonition is coming true. I hear a loud clap of thunder as soon as I pull into the parking lot of the park. There's a storm brewing to the east, and it's heading this direction. Fitting. It's not raining yet, though, so I scan the playground until I spot my mother. She's holding Emmy, and they're going down the slide together. She hasn't spotted me yet, so I take a moment to pull Atlas's letter out of my purse. I'm still reeling from my interaction with Ryle. I'd like to read something that can hopefully put me in a better mood before I greet my daughter.
Dear Lily, I'm sorry I had to leave without saying goodbye, but you fall asleep so easily. I don't mind it. I like watching you sleep, even when it's in a car in the middle of a date. I used to watch you sleep sometimes when we were younger. I liked how peaceful you looked, because when you were awake, there was always a quiet fear in you. But when you slept, the fear was gone, and it always put me at ease. I can't begin to tell you what tonight meant to me. I don't think I have to put it into words, because you were here. You felt it too. I know I mentioned earlier that I carried a lot of guilt about what happened between us, but I don't want you to think I carry regret for loving you back then. If there's anything at all I regret, it's that I didn't fight harder for you. I think that's where the majority of my guilt stems from, knowing if I didn't leave you, you never would have met a man who would end up hurting you the way your father hurt your mother. But no matter how we got here, we're here. I had to get to a point where I realized I was always worthy of being loved by you. I hate that we didn't get here sooner, because there are so many things in your life I wish you didn't have to go through, or that I could have prevented. But any other path wouldn't have given you Emerson, so I'm grateful this is where we ended up. I love watching you talk about her. I can't wait to get to know her. But that'll come in time, along with all the other things I'm looking forward to. We'll continue to take this at whatever pace you're comfortable with. Whether I get to talk to you every day or see you once a month, anything is better than the years I had to go not knowing anything about you. I'm so happy you're happy. That's all I've ever wanted for you. But I will say, nothing beats knowing I'm the one you get to be happy with now. Love, Atlas. I flinch so hard, I almost rip the letter in two when someone bangs on my window. I gasp and glance up to see my mother standing next to my car. Emmy lights up when she sees me through the window, and that smile is all it takes to make me smile in return. Well, her smile and the letter in my hand. I fold it up and tuck it back into my purse. My mother opens my door. Is everything okay? Yeah, it's fine. I take Emmy from her, but my mother's eyes are squinting with suspicion. You sounded scared when you asked me to meet you at the park. It's fine, I say, wanting to brush it off. I just didn't want Ryle to pick her up today. He's not in a very good mood, and he knew she was with you, so. I blow out a breath and walk over to the empty swing set. I take a seat in one of the swings and place Emmy on my lap, facing out. I kick the ground and give the swing a little push, watching as my mother takes a seat in the swing next to us. Lily. My mother is looking at me with concern. Just tell me what happened. I know Emerson is only one and can't understand me yet, but it still makes me uncomfortable to talk about her father in her presence. I'm convinced babies and toddlers can sense moods, even if they can't understand what you're saying. I attempt to explain my situation without mentioning names. I'm sort of seeing someone? That confession comes out like a question because we haven't made it official, but I don't think Atlas and I have to put a label on it to know where this is headed.
Really? Who?
I shake my head. I'm not about to tell her it's Atlas, even though she probably wouldn't know who I was talking about. She saw him twice when I was younger, and we never once spoke about him. And if she does remember him, I'm sure she doesn't want to, considering her husband put him in the hospital. There may come a day when I officially introduce Atlas to my mother, and I don't want her to know him from my past, or she might feel mortified. Just someone I met. It's early. But I sigh and kick the ground again to give us another small push. Ryle found out, and he isn't happy. My mother winces, like she knows all too well what "he isn't happy" implies. He came by this morning, and his reaction was scary. I panicked, thinking he was going to show up at your place to get her, so I didn't want you to be home. What did he do? I shake my head. I'm not hurt. It's just been a while since I've seen that side of him, so I'm a little shaken, but I'm okay. I kiss Emmy on top of her head. I'm surprised to feel a tear skating down my cheek, so I quickly wipe it away. I just don't know what to do about his visits now. I almost wish something would have happened, so I could have reported him this time. But then I feel like an awful mother for thinking that way about her father. My mother reaches over and squeezes my hand. It makes my swing come to a still, so I twist until we're facing her. No matter what you decide to do, you are not an awful mother. Precisely the opposite. She releases my hand and grips the chains, staring at Emmy. I admire the choices you've made for her. Sometimes I get sad that I couldn't be that strong for you. I immediately shake my head. You can't compare our situations, Mom. I had a lot of support that enabled me to make the choice I made. You had no one. She gives me a sad, appreciative smile. Then she leans back and kicks at the ground to give herself a little shove. Whoever he is, he's a lucky guy. She glances over at me. Who is he? I laugh. No, you don't. I'm not talking about him to you until he's a for sure thing. He already is a for sure thing, she says. I can see it in your smile. We both look up at the same time when it starts sprinkling. I tuck Emmy under my chin, and we begin to head back toward the parking lot. My mother kisses Emmy before I put her in the car seat. I love you. Gamma loves you, Emmy. Gamma? I ask. Last week it was Nanny. I still haven't settled on one yet. My mother kisses me on the cheek and then rushes to her car. I climb into my car right when the bottom falls out of the sky. Huge drops of rain assault the windshield, the pavement, the hood of my car. They're so fat they sound like acorns hitting my car. I sit for a moment, waiting to figure out where I'm going before I start the car. I don't want to go home yet because Ryle might show back up. I definitely don't want to go to Elisa's because I'll absolutely run into him in the apartment building where he lives. I feel very protective of Emmy right now because Ryle has every right on paper to show up and take her from me for the day, but I'm not allowing my daughter around him on a day I know his fuse is non-existent. I look in my rearview mirror, and Emmy is just sitting peacefully, looking out the window at the rain. She has no idea the kind of chaos that surrounds her existence, because to her, I'm her entire existence. Every ounce of her trust is in me. She depends on me for everything, and she's just sitting there, happy and comfortable, as if I have it all under control. I don't feel like I have it under control, but the fact that she assumes I do is good enough for me. Where do we go today, Emmy?
Chapter 25. Atlas. What time did you get home last night? Josh asks. He's shuffling into the kitchen wearing two different socks, one of them a new one I bought him and one of them mine. Theo and Josh were asleep when I got home, but I still woke up 3 hours before they did. Brad just left with Theo about 20 minutes ago. That's none of your business. I point at the table where Josh's homework sits unfinished. He promised he would do it yesterday if I let Theo spend the night, but I have a feeling the video games and manga and anime got in the way. You didn't do your homework? Josh looks at the pile of papers and then back at me. No? Get to it, I say that with confidence, but I have no idea how to do this. I've never had to tell a kid to do homework before. I don't even know how to ground him if he doesn't do his homework. I feel like I'm acting. I am. I'm an imposter. I'm not avoiding it, Josh says. I just can't do it. Is it too hard? What is it, math? No, I did the math. Math is easy. It's this stupid shit I have to do for computer class. Stupid crap, I say, correcting him. I think. Maybe stupid crap is just as bad. I sit down next to Josh to see what it is he's having trouble with. He slides the assignment in front of me and I look over it. It's a research assignment about ancestry. There are 5 things required for the term, and one of them is a family tree that was due on Friday. The other is a generational assignment using an ancestry website that's due next Friday. We're supposed to find our relatives using some website. I don't know any of their names or even where to start, he says. Do you? I shake my head. Not really. I met Sutton's father once, but he died when I was a kid. I don't even remember his name. What about my dad's parents? Josh asks. I don't know anything about his family either. Josh takes the papers from me. They really should stop having kids do these things. No one has normal families anymore. You're right, actually. I hear a text ping on my phone in the kitchen, so I stand up to go check it. Did you ever try to find my dad for me? Josh asks. I did try, but Tim never responded to the voicemail I left him. I just don't want to tell Josh that because I know it'll be disappointing. I pick up my phone but walk back to Josh before looking at my texts. I haven't had a chance to really look into it yet. You're sure you want me to? Josh nods. He might want to hear from me. I'm sure Sutton has done everything she can to keep us apart. I feel a stab of concern in the center of my chest. I was hoping Josh would be comfortable enough here to not want to find his dad, but that was a ridiculous hope. He's a 12-year-old boy. Of course he wants to find his father. I'll help you try to find him. I point to the papers. But do what you can with that for now. As long as you try, they can't give you a bad grade for not knowing your grandparents. Josh leans over his work, and I finally look down at the text. It's from Lily. Can I call you? She should know she can call me any second of the day, and I would answer. I take my phone to my room and call her without texting her back. She picks up in the middle of the first ring. Hey, she says. Hi. What are you doing? Helping Josh with his homework. Trying to pretend I'm not thinking about you. She's quiet after I say that, and I immediately sense something is off. Are you okay? Yeah, I don't want to go home. I was wondering if I could come to your place. Sure. Is Emmy still with your mom? She sighs. That's the thing. I have her with me. I know that's weird, but I'll explain when I get there. If she's bringing Emerson to my house, something is definitely off. She's been adamant she didn't want to bring her around me before Ryle knew about us. I'll text you my address. Thank you. I'll be there in a little while. She ends the call and I fall back onto my mattress, wondering what in the hell happened in the time between slipping out of her bed last night and this phone call. Did she get my letter? Did I say something wrong? Is she about to break things off with me? All those concerns swirl in my gut as I wait for her, but my biggest concern is one I don't even allow my mind to entertain. Did Ryle hurt her? I'm watching for them when she pulls into my driveway, so I meet her outside. I can immediately tell something is wrong when she gets out of the car, but I don't think it's related to me because she seems relieved to see me. I pull her in for a hug because she looks like she needs one. What happened? She places her hands on my chest and pulls back to look up at me. She seems hesitant to say anything. She glances into the back window to check on her daughter, who is asleep in the car seat. Then Lily just starts to cry. She drops her face against my chest and sobs into my shirt, and it's the most heartbreaking thing. I press my lips into her hair and give her a moment. She doesn't need long. She composes herself fairly quickly and then wipes at her eyes. I'm sorry, she says. I've been holding that in all morning since Ryle left. The mention of his name makes my spine stiffen. I knew this had to do with him. He knows about us, she says. What happened? It's taking everything in me to stand where I am and not run to find him. My bones feel as if they're crackling with anger. Are you hurt?
No, but he's really upset, and I don't want to be home alone right now. I know I shouldn't be bringing Emmy around you yet, but I feel safer with her here than if Ryle tried to show up and take her today. I'm sorry, I just don't want to be anywhere he might find me. I tilt her chin up until she's looking at me.
I'm happy you're here. Both of you. Stay the whole day if you want.
She exhales and presses her lips against mine.
Thank you.
She moves to the back door to grab her daughter out of her car seat. Emerson doesn't even wake up. She's limp in Lily's arms, passed out. She's been at the park for an hour. She's exhausted. I stare at Emerson in wonder, still amazed by how much she looks like Lily. She's the spitting image of her mother, and I'm not at all upset that she looks nothing like her father.
Do you need me to grab anything?
Her diaper bag is in the passenger seat. I grab it, and we make our way into the house. Josh looks over his shoulder when he hears me walk inside. Lily waves at him, and he nods his head, but then when he notices Emerson, he turns completely around in his chair.
That's a baby, he says.
It is, Lily replies. Her name is Emerson. Josh looks at me.
Is it yours?
He uses the Sharpie in his hand to point at Emerson.
Is that my niece?
Lily laughs uncomfortably. I probably should have warned Josh before they showed up. No, I am not a dad, and you are not an uncle. Josh stares at us for a minute, then shrugs and says,
Okay.
He turns around and gives his attention back to his homework.
Sorry about that, I say quietly.
I set Emerson's diaper bag near the couch. Want me to get a blanket for her? Lily nods, so I grab a thick quilt from the hallway closet and lay it on the floor next to the couch. I double it over to give it more cushion, and she places Emerson on it. Emerson sleeps through the entire transfer.
Don't let her fool you, she's a very light sleeper.
Lily kicks off her shoes and sits on the couch, pulling her feet beneath her. I sit down next to her, hoping she feels like talking about what happened because I need to know why she's scared. Josh can't see us from the dining room, so I give Lily a quick kiss. I doubt he can hear us from where he is, but I whisper anyway. What happened? She sighs with her entire body and leans against the couch facing me. He showed up to get Emmy, and I wasn't expecting him. He saw our wine glasses, my clothes, he put two and two together, and he had the exact reaction I was afraid he would have.
What reaction was that?
He got angry. But he left before it got too bad.
Too bad? What does that even mean?
Does he know it was me who was there? Lily nods. That's practically the first thing he asked. He got angry and I asked him to leave and he did, but...
She stops talking.
And for the first time, I notice her hand is trembling.
God, I hate him so much.
I pull her to me so that her cheek is pressed against my chest and I hold her.
What did you do that scared you, Lily?
Her palm is pressed right over my heart. She whispers, He pushed me against the door and he got close to my face and I thought he was going to hit me or... I don't know. He didn't, though.
She must feel my heart hammering twice as fast against my chest now because she lifts her head and looks at me.
I'm fine, Atlas, I promise. Nothing happened after that. It's just been a long time since I've seen him that angry.
He pushed you against the door. That's not nothing.
Her eyes flick away and she lays her head back on my chest.
I know. I know. I just don't know what to do about it.
I don't know what to do about Emmy. I was actually getting close to letting him have an overnight with her, and now I don't even want him to have unsupervised visits.
He doesn't deserve unsupervised visits. You need to take him back to court.
Lily sighs, and I can tell this is probably the part of her life that causes her the most stress. I can't imagine what it must be like for her to watch him drive off with her little girl in his car, knowing what he's capable of. I'm glad she came here today. I know it's important to her that she waited to bring Emmy around me, but she made the right decision. Ryle might show back up to apologize and get Emmy, and he'll find her at all her usual places. He won't find her here. Besides, Lily and I know this thing that's been brewing between us is absolutely a long-term situation. She doesn't have to worry about me forming an attachment to Emmy and then disappearing. As long as Lily wants me around, I'm not going anywhere. She lifts her face to look at me again, and there's a smudge of mascara near her temple. I wipe it away. This conflict with him, she says, this is what I tried to warn you about. It could be a constant thing, especially now that he knows you're back in my life. She's saying this like she's giving me the opportunity to bow out of this thing with her. I can't believe she assumes that's even crossing my mind. You could have 50 ex-husbands who try to make our lives hell, but as long as I have you, I will be absolutely unaffected by anyone else's negativity. That's a promise. That makes her smile for the first time she showed up here. I don't want to do or say anything that could steal that smile, so I change the subject away from her weak-ass ex-husband. You thirsty? She pushes off my chest and grins even bigger. Yes, I'm thirsty and I'm hungry. Why else would I show up at a chef's house? Lily and Emerson have been here for about 4 hours now. Once Josh did as much of his homework as he could, he started playing with Emerson. Lily said she's been taking steps for a few weeks now, and Josh finds it hilarious that she follows him everywhere. He moved around for an hour while she stumbled after him, but now she's asleep again. She fell asleep on the floor next to me with her head on my leg. Lily offered to move her, but I wouldn't let her. I would be lying if I said this wasn't a little surreal. Deep down, I know that Lily and I are going to work out. She's my person, and I am hers, and that's something I've known since the first week we met. But looking at Emerson, knowing this child is likely going to end up becoming a huge part of my life, that's a lot to take in. I could be her stepfather someday. I'll likely be more of an influence in her life than her biological father, because Lily and I will eventually move in together. We'll likely marry someday. I'd never admit any of this out loud because people like Theo would say I'm getting ahead of myself, but the truth is, I'm years behind where I want to be with Lily, where I could have been with her. This is a hugely significant day, even if I don't see Emerson again for months. This could be the first day I'm spending with someone who might one day end up becoming my daughter. I brush thin strands of strawberry hair behind Emerson's ear and try to understand where some of Ryle's anger is coming from. He can't be clueless to what Lily moving on would mean for his relationship with Emerson. Lily has Emerson the majority of the time, so whoever Lily chooses to bring into her life will also be around Emerson that same amount of time. I'm not excusing Ryle's behavior by any means. If I had my way, he'd get a job offer in Sudan and we'd only have to deal with him once a year. But that's not the reality here. Ryle lives in the same city as his daughter, and his ex-wife is moving on with someone else. That can't be easy on anyone. While I can understand how difficult it probably is for him, I'll never understand his failure to recognize that it's no one's fault but his own. If he would have been a more mature, more rational man, Lily never would have left him. He'd have his wife and his daughter, and me and Lily wouldn't even be in contact. I'm worried for Lily. I'm worried Ryle is a little bit like my mother, and that he's going to retaliate by fighting for the sake of fighting and for no other reason. Have you ever made a report against Ryle? I ask, looking at Lily. She's sitting on the floor next to me, watching Emerson sleep on my leg. No. There's a drop of shame in Lily's response. Do the two of you have a custody agreement? She nods. I have full custody, but it comes with stipulations. Because of his schedule, I'm required to be flexible, but technically he gets her 2 days a week. He pays child support. She nods. He does. He's never been late. I'm relieved he at least provides her that, but knowing the answers to these questions is making Lily's situation seem even more precarious. Why? She asks. I shake my head. It's not my business. Is it? I don't even know. I'm trying to take things slow and give Lily space, but that part of me is warring with the part of me that wants to protect her. Lily lifts a hand and pulls my focus to hers. It is your business, Atlas. We're together now. Her response makes my heart stutter. Did she just make us official? Are we? Together? I smile and urge her closer to me, my pulse thrumming. Are me and you a thing, Lily Bloom? Her lips grin against mine. She's nodding when she kisses me. I think we both knew it was official long before last night. But if her daughter weren't asleep on my leg right now, I'd probably pick Lily up and spin her around. I'm that happy. And that much more invested. My quick burst of adrenaline begins to slow again, bringing me back to my thoughts from before Lily declared us official. Ryle. Custody. Immaturity. Lily's head is on my shoulder and her hand is on my chest, so she feels it when I exhale all the air from my lungs. She lifts her head and looks at me anxiously. Just say it. Say what? I ask her. Your thoughts about my situation. Your eyebrows are all scrunched together like you're worrying about something. She lifts her hand and uses her thumb to smooth out my serious expression. Is it too late to tell the court he was a danger to you in the past? Maybe that would prevent him from getting overnights with her. Once two people agree on a custody arrangement, you can't use past evidence to modify an arrangement. Unfortunately, I never reported him, so I can't use the abuse as a defense at this point. That is unfortunate, but I can understand her attempting to keep things civil with him at the time. I'm just worried it might come back on her in a negative way. He's too busy to have her half the time, or even overnights, really. I doubt he would ever try to get joint custody of her. I press my lips together and nod, hoping she's right. I don't know him like she does, but from what I do know of him, he seems to hold grudges. And people who hold grudges tend to need retaliation. Parents do this all the time. They don't like what another parent is doing or who they're seeing, so they use their child as a weapon. And that worries me. I could absolutely see Ryle making the decision to take her to court simply to get back at her for being with me. And he would likely get what he wants. He's never hurt Emerson. He's never been reported for hurting Lily. He's never been laid on child support. And he has a successful career. All these things are in his favor. When I glance at Lily, it looks like she's about to sink into the floor. I didn't mean to upset her even more by talking about this. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a pessimist. We can change the subject. You aren't a pessimist, Atlas. You're a realist, and I need that from you. She lifts her head off my shoulder and peeks over at Emmy, who is still asleep on my leg. Then Lily settles against me again, releasing a quiet sigh. You know, even if I had reported Ryle and fought for sole custody, my chances were slim. He has no criminal history, and he has money for the best lawyers. Almost every lawyer I spoke to encouraged me to work it out civilly with him because they've seen cases like ours. And the arrangement Ryle was agreeing to at the time was my best option. I grab her hand and lace my fingers through hers. She wipes away a tear that skates down her cheek. I hate that I even brought it up, but these fears are already in her. I'm just glad to know she's thinking about it because she needs to stay a step ahead of Ryle. Whatever happens, you aren't alone in this anymore. Lily smiles appreciatively. Emerson begins to stir awake on my leg. She opens her eyes and looks at me and then immediately searches for Lily. She makes a beeline for her right across my lap. When she's in Lily's arms, I lift my leg and stretch it. I haven't been able to move it for over half an hour, and it's asleep. We should go, she says. I feel guilty for even being here with her. I'd be livid if Ryle took her around a girlfriend without me knowing. I think your situations are a little different. Ryle isn't having to find a safe place to hide your daughter for the day because he's scared of your temper. Don't be so hard on yourself. Lily shoots me a grateful look. I help her gather their things, and I walk her to the car. Once Emerson is in her car seat, Lily moves close to say goodbye. I burrow my fingers in her hips and tug her closer. I dip my head, grazing her nose, and then I catch her lips with mine. I kiss her deeply, wanting her to still feel it on her drive home. I slide my hands into the back pockets of her jeans and squeeze her ass. It makes her laugh. Then she sighs wistfully. I already miss you. I nod in agreement.
There's been a lot of that on my end, I admit. I'm kind of obsessed with you, Lily Bloom. I kiss her cheek and then force myself to release her. This is the only negative aspect of finally being with the person you're meant to be with. You go years aching to be with them, and when they finally become a significant part of your life, it somehow hurts even more.
Chapter 26. Lily.
You disappoint me, Lily.
I'm staring at my phone in shock. Is this a joke?
You treat me like a monster. I'm her goddamn father.
It's 5 in the morning. I woke up to use the bathroom, and naturally I glanced at my phone before attempting to get the last hour of sleep before my alarm goes off. All the texts are from Ryle. I haven't heard from him since he showed up at my house on Sunday. It's been 4 days, and he never even bothered to reach out and apologize for losing his temper on me. He was silent for 4 days. And then this?
I was happier before I met you.
I read through the barrage of text messages, knowing full well he was drunk when he sent them last night. The first one was sent at midnight, and the last one, from 2 in the morning, reads, "Have fun fucking the homeless guy." I drop my phone onto my bed, my hands trembling. I can't believe he sent these. I was hoping the 4 days of silence was a stretch of remorse on his part, but it's obvious he's been stewing in his anger. This is so much worse than I thought. I try to go back to sleep, but I can't. I get up and make myself a cup of coffee, but my stomach is too upset to drink it. I spend the next half hour standing in my kitchen, staring at nothing, replaying those texts over and over in my mind. When Emerson finally wakes up, I'm relieved. I am more than welcoming to the distraction of our chaotic morning routine. By the time I drop her off with my mother and make it to work, it's 8 o'clock sharp. I'm the first one at the flower shop, so I distract myself with as much as I can until Serena and Lucy show up. Lucy can tell something is wrong with me. She even asks me if I'm okay at one point, but I reassure her that I'm fine. I pretend I am fine, but I'm watching the front door every chance I get, expecting Ryle to angrily burst through it. I wait for another mean text from him. I wait for the phone to ring. Hours go by, and there's nothing. Not even an apology. I don't tell Atlas, I don't tell Elisa, I don't say anything to anyone throughout the day about what he's done. It's embarrassing. It's insulting to Atlas, it's insulting to me. I have no idea what to do about it, but I know that this isn't something I'm willing to tolerate. I refuse to go the next 17 years of my daughter's life being abused in any way, even through text messages. Serena has gone for the day, and it's just Lucy and me when the inevitable finally happens. It's after 5, and we're just getting ready to close up shop so I can pick up Emerson from my mother's when Ryle walks through the front door. My anxiety shoots through me like an explosion of lava. Lucy has never been Ryle's biggest fan, so she groans under her breath when she sees him and says, "I'll be in the back if you need me." "Lucy, wait," I whisper. I look down at my phone like I'm busy with something so Ryle can't see my lips moving. "Stay." I glance at her so she can see the concern in my eyes. She just nods and finds something to make herself look busy. My heart is hammering against my chest when Ryle approaches. I don't even try to hide behind a fake expression when I look him in the eye. He holds my stare for a few seconds and then side-eyes Lucy. He nudges his head toward my office.
"Can we talk?"
"I was just leaving." My words come out quick and firm. "I have to pick up our daughter." I can see Ryle's left hand grip the edge of the counter. He squeezes it, and the muscles in his arm flex.
"Please. It won't take long."
I look at Lucy. "Wait for me to lock up?" She gives me a reassuring nod, so I turn on my heels and walk to my office. I can hear him right behind me. I fold my arms over my chest and suck in a breath before I can face him. I'm so sick of his remorse. I want to wipe that stupid frown off his face. I'm so angry.
I'm sorry.
He runs a hand through his hair and winces, coming closer.
I had too much to drink at an event last night, and...
I say nothing.
I don't even remember sending those texts, Lily.
I still say nothing. He begins to fidget, growing uncomfortable in my silent anger. He slides his hands into his pockets and stares at his feet.
Did you tell Elisa?
I don't answer that question. If anything, it infuriates me even more. He's worried what his sister will think of him more than what kind of damage he's doing to me? No, but I told a lawyer. I'm lying, but it'll be the truth as soon as he leaves this building. From this point forward, I'm documenting everything he does to me. Atlas is right. Ryle looks perfect on paper, and if he's going to continue with abusive tactics, I need to protect myself and Emerson. Ryle's eyes slowly journey to mine.
You what?
I sent them to my lawyer.
Why would you do that?
Seriously? You pinned me against a door on Sunday, and then you sent me threatening texts in the middle of the night. I have done nothing to deserve this, Ryle. He pulls his hands from his pockets and squeezes the back of his neck as he spins to face the other direction. He stretches his back while he sucks in a breath. He seems to be holding that breath in while he silently counts in an attempt to subdue the anger building in him. We both know how those techniques have worked in the past. When he turns around, the remorse is gone.
You don't see the pattern here? Are you really that blind?
Oh, I definitely see a pattern, but I think we're looking at different ones.
We've been fine for a year, Lily. We didn't have a single issue until he showed back up. Now we're fighting all the time and you're getting lawyers involved?
He looks like he wants to punch the air. Stop blaming your behavior on other people, Ryle.
Stop ignoring the common fucking denominator for all of our problems, Lily.
Lucy appears in the doorway of my office. She looks from me to Ryle, and then back to me.
Are you okay?
Ryle lets out an exasperated laugh.
She's fine,
he says, irritated. Ryle walks toward the door, and Lucy has to press herself against the doorframe to avoid being bumped into.
A fucking lawyer, I hear him mutter. Let me take one guess as to whose idea that was.
Ryle is walking toward the door like he's on a mission. Lucy and I both exit my office, most likely for the same reason, to lock him out once he exits the shop. When Ryle reaches the front door of the building, he spins around and stabs me with a sharp glare.
I am a neurosurgeon. You work with flowers, Lily. Remember that before your lawyer does anything stupid to threaten my career. I pay for that fucking apartment you live in.
His threat is punctuated by his hands slamming open the door. Lucy is the one to lock it after he finally leaves, because I'm frozen from the impact of that last insult. She walks back to me and pulls me in for a sympathetic hug. I realize in this moment that the hardest part about ending an abusive relationship is that you aren't necessarily putting an end to the bad moments. The bad moments still rear their ugly heads every now and then. When you end an abusive relationship, it's the good moments you put an end to. In our marriage, the few terrifying incidents were blanketed by so many good ones. But now that our marriage is over, the blanket has lifted, and all I'm left with are the worst pieces of him. Where our marriage was once full of heart and flesh that cushioned the skeleton, all that's left is the skeleton now. Sharp, bony edges that slice right through me.
You okay?
Lucy asks, smoothing her hands down my hair. I nod. Yeah, but did it seem like he left here with a purpose? Like he was going somewhere else? Lucy's eyes scan the door again.
Yeah, he peeled out of the parking lot pretty fast. Maybe you should warn Atlas.
I immediately grab for my phone and call him.
Chapter 27. Atlas. It's only been a half an hour since I checked my phone, so I'm alarmed when I see several missed calls and three texts from Lily. Please call me. I'm okay, but Ryle is angry. Did he show up there? Atlas, please call me. Shit. Darren, can you take over? Darren moves to finish plating for me, and I immediately walk to my office and call her. Her phone goes straight to voicemail. I try her again. Nothing. I'm preparing to head out back to my car when my phone finally rings. I answer immediately with, "Are you okay?" "I'm fine," she says. I stop rushing toward the door and lean my shoulder into a wall. I release my breath, my heart rate plummeting back to normal. It sounds like she's driving. "I'm going to pick up Emmy. I just wanted to warn you that he's angry. I was worried he might show up there." "Thanks for the warning. You sure you're okay?" "Yes. Call me when you get home. I don't care how late it is." Ryle bursts through the kitchen doors in the middle of her sentence. He makes enough of a ruckus that everyone notices and pauses what they're doing. Derek, my head waiter, is right behind Ryle. "I said I would get him," Derek is saying to Ryle. Derek looks at me and throws up his hands to let me know he tried to prevent the intrusion. "I'll call you on my way home," I say. I failed to mention Ryle just showed up. I don't want her to be concerned. I end the call right as Ryle's eyes land on me. I don't think he's here to congratulate me. "Who is that?" Darren asks. "My biggest fan." I nudge my head toward the back door so Ryle starts walking in that direction. The kitchen begins to buzz again, everyone ignoring Ryle's intrusion. Everyone but Darren. "You need me to do something?" I shake my head. "I'll be fine." Ryle pushes open the back door so hard it slams against the outside wall. What a piece of work. I head in that direction, but as soon as I open the back door and walk onto the back steps, Ryle comes at me from the left. He knocks me off the steps, and then when I try to stand up, he punches me. It's a good punch, too. I'll give him that. Fuck. I wipe my mouth and stand up. Thankful he's at least giving me room to do that. It's not really a fair advantage when one person is on the ground when the punching begins. But Ryle doesn't seem like the type to play fair. He's about to hit me again, but I back up and he ends up tripping. He pushes off the ground, and when he's back on his feet, he stares at me, fuming. He doesn't seem to be in attack mode in the moment. "You done?" I ask him. He doesn't respond. But I don't think he'll lunge for me again. Ryle straightens his shirt and smirks. "I liked it better when you fought back last time." I struggle not to roll my eyes. "I have no desire to fight you." He pops his neck and starts to pace. He has so much anger in him, I can't imagine what this must be like for Lily when she has to witness it. He's breathing heavily, his hands on his hips, his eyes piercing me like knives. I don't just see anger in his expression. I see a hell of a lot of pain. I sometimes try to put myself in Ryle's shoes, but as much as I struggle to stand in them, they don't fit. They never will. Because there isn't a single human in history with a past misfortunate enough to excuse beating the person you're supposed to protect. Just say whatever it is you came here to say. Ryle wipes blood away from his knuckles with his shirt, and I notice his hand is swollen. It looks like he was punching things before he showed up and hit me. I'm glad I know Lily is okay, or he wouldn't be walking away in the same condition he showed up in. "You think I don't know the lawyer was your idea?" he says. I try to hide my surprise, but I have no idea what he's talking about. Did she speak to a lawyer about her situation? It makes me want to smile, but I'm sure a smile would antagonize Ryle, and I do enough of that simply by existing. My lack of response is getting under his skin. Ryle's face twists in anger. "You might have her fooled right now, but you'll have your first fight with her. And your second. She'll see that marriage isn't fucking rainbows all the goddamn time. I could have a million arguments with her, but I can promise you they'll never end with her in the hospital." Ryle laughs. He's trying to spin this to look like I'm the ridiculous one. I'm not the one who barged into his place of work because I couldn't control my emotions. You have no idea what Lily and I have been through, he says. You have no idea what I've been through. It's like he showed up wanting a fight, but I'm not giving him that, so he's using it as a venting session. Maybe I should give him Theo's number. I'm seriously at a loss here. I don't want to come back to this moment tomorrow and see it as a lost opportunity. My only goal is to make Lily's life with this man more peaceful. The last thing I want to do is make things more difficult between us all. But until he gets it through his head that he's the only one in control of his reactions, I'm just as confused as Lily as to how to deal with him. You're right, Ryle. I nod slowly. You're right. I have no idea what you've been through. I take a seat on the stairs to let him know he has no reason to feel threatened by me. And if he tries to attack me again while I'm sitting, I'm not going to respond to him with as much composure this time. I clasp my hands together and do my very best to speak in a way that might get through to him. Whatever happened in your past helped make you a great neurosurgeon, and the world needs that side of you. But your past also, for whatever reason, made you a shitty husband. The world doesn't need that side of you. Just because we get the opportunity to be something, that isn't a guarantee that we'll be good at it. Ryle rolls his eyes. That's dramatic. I watch them stitch her up, Ryle. Wake the fuck up, man. You were a horrible husband. He stares at me for a beat, then says, What has you convinced you'll be any better? Treating Lily the way she deserves to be treated is the easiest part of my life. I think you should be relieved she's with someone like me. He laughs. Relieved? I should be relieved? He takes several steps toward me, his anger ascending again. You're the reason we aren't together. It takes everything in me to remain on these steps, and every ounce of patience I have not to return his shouts with my own. You're the reason you aren't together. It was your anger and your fist that got you here. I was barely an acquaintance in Lily's life when she was with you. So do the mature thing and stop blaming me and Lily and everyone else for your actions. I stand up, but not to hit him. I just need to make room in my chest to exhale because if I don't, I'm not sure how long I can do this without raising my voice to his level. It's hard looking at him and remaining composed knowing what he's done to Lily. Damn it, I mutter. This is ridiculous. Ryle and I are both quiet for a moment. Maybe he can tell I'm at my limit because I'm not keeping my frustration as under control anymore. I spin and face him, looking at him pleadingly. This is our life now. Yours, mine, Lily's, your daughter's. We have to deal with this. Forever. Holidays, birthdays, graduations, Emerson's wedding. All these things are going to be difficult for you, but you're the only one who can make sure they aren't difficult for the rest of us, too. Because none of us owes you our happiness, especially Lily. Ryle shakes his head. He paces like he's trying to erase the asphalt and uncover earth. You expect me to what? To cheer you two on, to wish you well, to encourage you to be a good father to my fucking daughter? He laughs at the absurdity he finds in the idea of that, but I keep a very straight face. Yes, exactly that. I think my response throws him off. He pauses and threads his hands at the nape of his neck. I take a step closer to him, but not in a threatening way. I don't want to yell. I want Ryle to hear the absolute sincerity in my voice. As happy as I know I can make Lily, she'll never be fully happy until she has your acceptance and cooperation. And you're making it difficult, even though you know she deserves a good life. They both do. If you want your daughter to grow up with the best version of Lily, then please work with her. This is possible for all of us. Ryle rolls his neck. What are we, some kind of team now? I hate that he's trying to make any of this sound beyond the realm of possibility. A team is the only thing people should be when kids are involved. That hits him. I can see it in the way he flinches and then subtly swallows. He turns around and faces away from me, taking a few steps while he contemplates everything I've said. When he turns back around and looks at me, there's a little less vitriol there. When things don't work out between the two of you and Lily needs somewhere to run, I'm not picking up the pieces this time. With that, Ryle walks away. He doesn't go through the restaurant this time. He heads down the alley toward the street. I can do nothing but stare at him with pity as he walks away. He truly doesn't know Lily at all. At all. Lily doesn't run to people. She didn't run after me when I left Maine. She didn't run to me when she left Ryle. She focused on being a mother. Yet that's what he expects her to do if things don't work out between us? Run to him like he's her home base? Lily's home base is Emerson, and if he still can't see that, he's clueless. If Lily had stayed with him, he would have spent the rest of their lives inventing issues in order to justify his excessive anger. Because I was never an issue in their marriage, and I never would have been. I thought I pitied him before, but he's fighting for a woman he barely even knows, which means he's just fighting for the sake of fighting. He's got a very similar personality to my mother, and sometimes there's no fixing that. You just have to learn to live your life around it. Maybe that's what Lily and I are going to have to do. Learn to live our lives the best we can while occasionally having to deal with the ridiculous wrath of Ryle. That's fine. I'd go through this shit every day if it means I'm the one who gets to fall asleep next to her every night. I walk up the steps and return to the hustle of the kitchen, and I get right back to work like he was never even here. I don't know if my response tonight made the situation better, but I definitely don't think I made it worse. Darren hands me a wet rag. You're bleeding. He points to the left side of my mouth, so I hold the rag there. Is that her ex? Yeah. Everything okay now? I shrug. I don't know. He might get mad and come back. Hell, this could go on for years. I look at Darren and smile. But she's worth it. 3 hours later, I'm knocking softly on Lily's apartment door. I texted her to let her know I was coming. I thought she might need another drive-by hug. When she opens the door, it's clear that's exactly what she needs, and what I need. As soon as we're inside her living room, she slips her arms around my waist and I fold myself around her. We remain embraced for a couple of minutes. When she lifts her face, her eyebrows draw apart when she sees the small cut on my lip. He's such an immature asshole. Did you put ice on it? I'll be fine. Didn't even swell. Lily lifts up onto her toes and kisses my cut. Tell me what happened. We sit on the couch and I try to recall everything that was said, but I'm sure I leave a few things out. When I'm finished speaking, she's leaning against the back of the couch with a leg draped over mine, concentrating. She's threading her fingers in and out of my hair. She's quiet for a long time. Then she just looks at me with a sweetness that melts over me. I'm convinced you're the only man on the planet who could get punched and then offer the aggressor advice. Before I can respond, she's sliding onto my lap, bringing her face close to mine. Don't worry. I find it so much more appealing than if you would have fought him back. I slide my hands up her back, surprised she's in such a good mood. I don't know why I thought this conversation would be a weight on her. But I guess this is the best possible outcome. Ryle knows we're a thing, I had a chance to say my piece, and we all come out of it relatively unharmed. I can't stay long, but I can probably stretch this hug out for another 15 minutes before Josh notices I'm late. She raises an eyebrow. When you say hug, do you mean... I mean get naked? We're down to 14 minutes. I push her onto her back and kiss her, and we don't stop for 14 minutes. Then 17. Then 20. It's 30 minutes later before I finally walk out of her apartment.